and here in the peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, this morning we will emphasize the 17th verse of the Gospel lesson which is read. So God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God desired to save the world of Christ. Here, this word designates the human family as the object of God's saving activity. The word is used frequently this way by both St. Paul and St. John. In a matter of hours from now, the 40th President of the United States will take the oath of office. From that point on, he will view our country and our world from the perspective of the presidency. This morning, we want to try to look at the world from God's perspective. We want to see the world as humanity, claimed by the gospel, but passed prior to God and enslaved by the powers of darkness. Now, the most categorical affirmation of God's will to save the world is made in the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to the New Testament, Jesus came not to be a savior of a sect, but the savior of the world. The world is the object of God's love. As John says, God so loved the world. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. The universal grace, the universality of the gospel, is the foundation for the universality of the evangelizing mission of the church. The gospel's claim on the world, initiated by Jesus Christ, is to be continued by his followers. As the Father sent him, so Jesus Christ is sending us. We are to remember that repentance and forgiveness of sins are to be proclaimed in his name to all nations. In fact, it's the unfulfilled expectation of the gospel that gives meaning to history until the end of time. So, look at this human family from God's perspective. We see a people enslaved by the powers of darkness. The human family is in open hostility against God. This kindness is by nature an enemy of Jesus Christ and his followers. Jesus came as the light of the world to bear witness to the truth that men love darkness rather than light, as our gospel lesson reminds us. You see, this is a collective reflection. The world cannot receive the spirit of truth, for the carnal mind is enmity against God. And this is the tragedy of the earth. We have us in the vicious cycle of a rejection that leads to the preaching of Christ and his followers, and then leads one incapable of recognizing the truth of the gospel. Under the control of the power of the darkness, the human family at the same time stands under the judgment of God. Now, though, as I said, God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, the world is judged by its own rejection of the light, as the gospel lesson says, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because they do not believe. And I ask you, do we see the world from God's perspective? human family in prison is in a closed system of rebellion against God, which is both self-defeating and self-destroying. But in God's perspective, He was doomed. He was doomed to send His only Son. And Peter reminds us in the second epistle that God does not wish for any good thing, but that all should reach repentance. And as you look after your God, you must do some things. In fact, there is no way in which you can look at the world of humanity and not go to fix them alternative. And this is the burden that was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He caused him to suffer and to die and to complete the redemptive plan. And what he initiated, we are to continue. This goes after the Lord and the holders of the church and upon each of us. The thing is, the church saw the wisdom from God's perspective, then its global evangelistic task would have the highest priority. The church will always be here. In your Jerusalem, then Judea, then the uttermost parts of the earth. But we are not doing particularly well in any of these areas. And we know all the passages. And our people, and our church are sincere. They're hard-working. They love the peace. But somehow the power of God's perspective is lacking. And sometimes, unfortunately, we can even develop theological reasons why these passages in Scripture certainly bother us too much. We even develop at times a more exegetical theology. Now, all second generation Christians and Christians have a real danger to and I think most of us are second generation Christians. And certainly the SCMS is more than a second generation Christian. The danger is identified for us in the letter to the church of Ephesus in the second chapter of the book of Revelation, where the Lord first commands the church to many us. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. By this time, Ephesus is a second generation church. And Paul had died. Remember, Paul had made Ephesus a major headquarters after he started from Antioch. And some suggest that all of Asia heard the gospel from this place. But by the end of the first century, they were losing their first mark. The global evangelistic task of the church no longer had passed by earth. Is this perhaps what has happened to you? It is so easy to have other things crowd in upon us, and to obscure and set aside the main business of the church, that this need I have, if we will continue to use the word, and through it, see the world through God, recognizing that the fallen and rebellious humanity and be saved through the powerful gospel of God, which is the power of God unto salvation, and this power can enable us, after, to make disciples of all nations fulfilling.
Today is January 21st, 1981.